The reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to the end. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his word, his own Son, he gave him up for all of us. Now he will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 onwards. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now let us move forward a few verses to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. but threw the bad fish away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and be separated, the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of our house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as of old." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and Redeemer. It was a lot of parables in one reading in that extract from Matthew's Gospel. And it follows on quite nicely from the parable of the sower that Tim spoke about last week, which is another of the parables of the kingdom of heaven. But this morning, I'm going to particularly focus on treasure. Now, both adults and children like treasure hunts, the element of surprise, the element of finding something, perhaps the aspect of going on a journey or an expedition to reach the prize, the treasure chest. So what treasure can we find in the six parables and the words from Romans we heard this morning? Jesus used parables about everyday objects and everyday activities familiar to his listeners at the time, which made them easy to relate to for his listeners. And the parables had hidden messages for those who had been called to be his followers, the disciples at the time. But they're also hidden messages for us today. The last of the parables we heard this morning was the one about Jesus teaching about new truths and old, sometimes called the parable of the householder. It's all about relating treasure of the old with the treasure of the new. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that Jesus would fulfill the scriptures of old with details including the way he would teach with parables, as we heard in Psalm 8 this morning that we all said together. It is not surprising that Matthew includes the parable of the householder. Other gospel writers don't. Matthew was of Jewish heritage, so he would have known his Old Testament scriptures well. The whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament together, has been described as God's big story. And Matthew could easily relate the greatness and prophecy of the old truth in the old scriptures with the new truth, the coming of God's kingdom to earth, made possible through the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, he did not come to destroy the traditions of the old Hebrew covenant, but to fulfill it with a new covenant. Let's go to our first parable, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. It could be said that every parable has the potential to be mustard seed or yeast. If we receive each parable with open hearts and minds, we can allow the meaning and message for each one of us to develop, to shape and direct us individually and together, to integrate the understanding as we participate in God's kingdom. On occasions, when we feel inspired or recognize that there may be a mustard seed of an idea or activity that God is wanting us to do, we may be completely overwhelmed by the potential enormity of the task, or may be too impatient to see the results. But for a plant or tree to be fully grown and flourish, there needs to be patience and nourishment, and like the yeast, time and care to allow the bread dough to rise so it is ready to cook and eat. Maybe we need to pause more often and take time to recognise and pay attention to those small mustard seeds that God is planting in our hearts. Many of the things that we are so actively involved in today, or hope to be, all started with the seed of an idea. A few examples. Alpha. Holiday at home that begins tomorrow. Little Fish. Messy Church. Our Connect service. Living Well with its food bank, clothes bank, meal and wide-ranging forms of support to help people in need. All these started from an initial idea that had grown and developed over time, where God's love is shared, all part of God's kingdom work here today. Now, let us go back to that notion and focus on treasure. The Bible passages we heard this morning remind us of the great treasure we've been given in the scriptures and the great treasure of the immeasurable love of our God, who gave us life, everlasting life, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote that we could be more than conquerors through him who loved us, as nothing will separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. When you think about treasure, what does it make you think of? The dictionary says treasure is wealth, especially in the form that can be accumulated or hoarded, something of great worth or value. Or it could be about somebody who's highly valued or praised. Well, my daughter gave me a granny book, and this was to share with my granddaughter, Lara. And it helps me to pass down things that I've learned through my life to my granddaughter. It contains personalised words and illustrations about the things that Lara and I like doing and sharing together. It talks about Granny's house being a wonderful place to explore, and has many, and the rooms hold many treasures and treasured memories. Indeed, there are a lot of things in Granny's house. Some is treasured memories of life in the past, friendships and relationships, experiences and events. Some things, though, are perhaps not treasure and should be discarded, recycled or upcycled, giving more space for those things that really are to be treasured. It is important to clear space in our minds and our lives for the treasure and the important stuff. It is so wonderful when sharing things with children that they can see things in a completely new way. And things that we have taken for granted or perhaps even forgotten about are brought into a freshness of new life. When we look at things again, we can sometimes appreciate it with new meaning. Parables and stories can trigger things in our own lives and situations. And the case of Jesus' parables, stories that teach us time and time again about how to live a Christ-focused life in a new context and situation that we find ourselves. Let's look at another of the parables that we heard this morning, the parable of the net. This parable is a stark message that points to the end of time, when we are likened to fish caught in a net. When the fishermen pull the net up onto shore, they select the good fish in baskets and the rest are thrown away. We may find it difficult to visualise that there will come a time for the end of the kingdom of earth and the sorting out and judgment by God separating the righteous from those who are condemned. Another kingdom parable in Matthew is the parable of the weeds. This parable gives us a warning that trying to earn our way into the kingdom is not something that we can do for ourselves. But we may wonder how we can make sure we're in the right place when the time comes. In our reading from Romans, we're reminded that when we're at a loss for what to do, when we have Christ at the centre of our lives, the Spirit will help us in our weakness. And that if we continually love God and love others as God loves us, we can look to the future with hope. In verse 28 of our Romans reading, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now let's look at a couple of those treasure parables. The parable of the pearl of great price. In this parable, Jesus is helping us to understand that a life focused on God's kingdom is worth losing everything for. Worth selling all you have, surrendering all you have, letting go of all you have, because God's kingdom is that valuable. And there's also the hidden message, perhaps, that God knows he can never pay the price, we can never pay the price for our sins. So he sent Jesus to pay the price for us. God asks us to believe in Jesus and receive the greatest treasure in the world, Jesus. He, from Romans 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? For this last part of my talk, I want us to have an opportunity to pause and reflect and pray on what messages there might be for us in the scripture we've heard today. Think of our own situations, personally and as a church. God's word is a living word, and through us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, how does God want us to build his kingdom and help it flourish in our homes, our workplaces, our local community, and further afield? Towards the end of our passage from Matthew, Jesus asked the disciples if they understood what he'd been saying in the parables, and the disciples say they did. And then Matthew concludes with that last parable about the old truths and the new truths. In this parable, Jesus describes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven as someone who can hear and understand God's word. Those disciples and followers of Jesus who diligently seek the kingdom of heaven and can bring from their storeroom both new treasures as well as old. I'm now going to read a short passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, to remind us of God's desire for us to understand his word for ourselves, so we can carry out the work and purposes he has called each of us to do. So Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it leads seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So let us spend some time reflecting on the parables this morning. What new message is there in there for us right now as we move forward with our worship, welcome, and witness as Holy Trinity with St. John's, in the spirit of the householder who brings out new truths from old? If particular thoughts come to mind as we do this reflection, maybe you can share them with each other afterwards and offer them to God for further guidance and strength in our prayers. So let's think about that parable of the householder. Let us think and pray about the treasure and treasures that we have. What can we discard? And what should we renew and revisit? Let's think and pray about the gifts we've been given and how to use those gifts for their best purpose for God's kingdom. And let us think about the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. Think about the small things we can do right now, which with our trusting God we can do towards our welcome and witness. however small our contributions. Let us think about the parable of the householder and the mustard seed together by giving thanks for the gift of Scripture. Whilst we want to convince everyone of its truth, knowing we can ask God for help and strength when we're uncertain how to do this. And let's think about the parable of the net, the sorting out of the good and the bad fish. Let us be reassured that we can ask God to help us with the difficult stuff, like asking him to help us to recognise the mixture of good and bad in all of us, and how we can ask for forgiveness and strength, and to have Christ in the centre of all we do. And knowing we can ask God for help to be patient and understanding, for us to be patient and understanding with everyone around us, welcoming all, witnessing to the truth. And so for that great treasure, let us remember those words of Paul, the great price that Jesus paid for us. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So may we find new truths in the old and keep Jesus at the centre of our lives.